afternoon. It's 4:30 and 75 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Ellen Barnett.
That's the culture that we're seeing, right, today across the country and including here in Lexington.
Lexington Police Chief Mark Barnard addresses concerns with the city's violence.
Officials hope schools in Fleming County will be open on time.
Commentator John Modaff explores the robot war on human drivers.
In sports, the Reds try to end a four-game losing streak tonight in Miami.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
Lexington Police Chief Mark Barnard is speaking out about the recent string of violence in the city. WKYT reports that events in the last week have left two people dead, two others injured, and several in harm's way. Barnard says the events are considered isolated and can primarily be attributed to high-risk behaviors like drug deals.
We're seeing that in Lexington, the same across the country. And the days where people would have an argument and go find each other and settle it are over. And so we have to be very vigilant. People have to be aware of their surroundings. We have to know what's going on.
Chief Barnard says police have also seen an increase in the no-snitch mentality, making it harder to investigate such shootings. Barnard says that changing the culture will take effort from the community as well as the police.
The man responsible for killing a man outside Central Kentucky Post Office could be a free man in 8 months. KNN's Will Clark has the story.
Alexander Roberts was found guilty of second-degree manslaughter and tampering with physical evidence in the 2015 shooting death of Rasheed Wycliffe outside the Bloomfield Post Office, the end result of what Roberts described as a drug deal gone bad. After the verdict, Roberts took a deal to serve 10 years for manslaughter and 5 years for the evidence charge concurrently. He's eligible for parole after 2 years, but has already served 16 months, meaning he could be out of prison as early as March. I'm Will Clark.
A bike ride to Washington, D.C. is one man's way of fighting heroin addiction. T.J. Hunter told WKYT he has struggled with addiction since he was 12 years old. He started getting clean about a month ago, after overdosing 3 times in 1 week while he was living homeless near Cincinnati. He's now staying with his mother in Lincoln County, and they are both planning to attend the Fed Up rally in D.C. to petition lawmakers for more action on the opioid epidemic.
My mom put a lot into trying to keep me clean, so we're going to put just as much as we put into that into this bike ride.
Hunter says he's lucky to be alive and he wants to help other people fight opioid addiction. The bike ride will raise money for opioid abuse prevention and treatment.
Fleming County School Superintendent Brian Kreisman is keeping his fingers crossed that classes in his district will be able to begin as scheduled on August 10th. According to Kreisman, that situation will remain in limbo until officials determine how long it will take to fix the roof on Flemingsburg Elementary, which sustained a large amount of wind damage during a storm early last Sunday.
It lifted the roof at one time and set it back down. Maybe it lifted it 5 or 6 inches, but you can tell it lifted it. So that's really the thing that we're holding on to determine if we can start school on time. But we're hopeful and confident that we'll be able to start in about 2 weeks when school starts.
Kreisman says district officials will meet on Monday to determine a timeline for the repairs to Flemingsburg Elementary and how much they'll cost. He notes things are slowly normalizing at the central office for the Fleming school system after its basement was flooded last weekend.
With the county's budget outlook appearing rosy, the Rowan County Fiscal Court is looking at the next project that it wants to tackle. According to Judge Executive Walter Blevins, the magistrates have discussed doing something to improve local recreation.
We may have some extra money left from the jail. There's some money available from the university that's supposed to give us about, it was $1 million. It's down to probably around 700 and some thousand that we'll get. We may take some of those dollars and try to do something to help tourism and help recreation.
Rowan's new $18 million jail will be completed by early January. According to Blevins, the county's economic development picture also looks bright. Officials are predicting that the area will soon be adding several new jobs, which will create additional tax revenue. Rowan County, the city of Moorhead, and Moorhead State University have been talking about partnering in the building of a new recreation park for several years. Blevins hopes that will finally happen in the not-too-distant future.
A Moorhead police official remains hopeful that the community policing program will meet the department's goal of getting started in early September. Captain Kyle Callahan and other members of the agency have been working on getting the initiative up and running for the past several months. Callahan admits putting together a working community policing program is not a simple task.
No, it takes a lot of cooperation, you know, between officers for one, and the second is, you know, it's going to take some cooperation from the public, too. And I think that the majority of citizens of Moorhead would welcome you know, a program such as this and try to tell us, you know, some things that we can fix. You know, we all got to work together with it.
Community policing programs get private citizens more involved in assisting their local law enforcement agencies. Callahan says Moorhead's program will begin with a series of meetings in various neighborhoods around the city.
Ashland's mayor and city commissioners have decided not to give themselves a pay raise. The Independent reports no members of the commission voiced support for the raises, which would have meant an extra $189 for Mayor Steve Gilmore and $160 for each commissioner. Some community members contacted the commission on social media before Thursday night's meeting to complain that the option was on the agenda at all. Last month, commissioners voted narrowly to decrease planned raises for city employees from 4% to 2%. Gilmore has said he doesn't think the city officials should ever raise their salaries while in office. Commissioners and other elected officials are allowed to grant themselves raises to keep up with cost of living estimates in the annual Consumer Price Index.
The Kentucky Department of Agriculture wants to make sure there's not a repeat of the recent tragedy at the Ohio State Fair, where a man was killed when a ride broke apart. The agency is in charge of ride inspections. Fair Board President Rosie House is confident in their ability to make sure they're safe. This week they checked the rides at the Madison County Fair.
If folks see a problem at their fair or at a festival, just let them contact us here at the department so we can come out and take a look and make sure everything's okay.
Even after amusement park rides are initially inspected, officials from the Kentucky Department of Agriculture can return to recheck them. The agency's inspectors are getting set to head to Louisville to look over the rides at next month's Kentucky State Fair.
The Carter County Fair Board has been busy this month preparing the fairgrounds for this year's big event. The annual county fair will be held August 6th through the 12th, just west of Grayson. Board member Jill York says work done on the property's roadways and drainage ditches was not effective against flash flooding during June's Rudy Fest Bluegrass Festival, but that shouldn't affect the fair.
That was the remnants of a hurricane. We don't expect that sort of weather to happen to us every day. So, you know, we'll be watching the skies, watching the weather reports. But we're looking forward to a good, dry, beautiful fair event.
Livestock shows begin on Monday, and the carnival opens on Wednesday. The fair closes on Saturday with a demolition derby at 8 p.m. For more information, visit the organization's website at cartercountyfair.org.
New regulations spelling out immunization requirements have been released by the Kentucky Department for Public Health. Jessica Likens is the director of nursing at the Gateway District Health Department.
The immunization requirements, they had changed back in June of 2017 to include child daycare centers, certified family child care homes, licensed facilities which care for children, preschool programs, and public and private schools for children kindergarten through high school.
Liken says the new regulations also add extra dosages for certain diseases for children over the age of 16. If you have any questions, you can call the Kentucky Immunization Program at 502-564-5279.
While admitting that he's disappointed that Republicans in the U.S. Senate failed early today to pass a skinny repeal bill that would have replaced parts of the Affordable Care Act, Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says Democrats should share some of that blame. The measure failed on a 51-49 vote, with three members of the GOP defecting to join the chamber's 48 Democrats in defeating it. According to the Kentucky Republican, while thousands of Americans have suffered as a result of the failings of the Affordable Care Act, Democrats decided early on to refuse to be part of the process to find a better way forward for the nation's health care system.
So now I think it's appropriate to ask, what are their ideas? It'll be interesting to see what they suggest as the way forward. For myself, I can say, and I bet I'm pretty safe in saying for most of the people on this side of the aisle, that bailing out insurance companies, with no thought of any kind of reform, it's not something I want to be part of.
McConnell says at this point, the Senate will set the issue of health care aside to turn to other matters.
Utilities, regulators, and electric industry experts wrapped up 3 days of meetings in Ohio yesterday after brainstorming about the impact of technological enhancements on the state's future energy infrastructure. Mary Sherman reports.
A series of three-day hearings on Phase 2 of the Public Utility Commission of Ohio's Power Forward Initiative wraps up today. PUCO spokesman Matt Schilling explains they are hearing from industry experts, utilities, and other stakeholders about the latest technology to enhance the way Ohioans use electricity.
The electric grid today actually looks very, very similar to how it did 100 years ago, which is a bit strange because every other industry is evolving. How consumers interact with their service companies is evolving. Just look at how the internet and technology has progressed.
Phase 1 hearings held this spring helped paint a picture of what the future of the energy grid could look like. Schilling says this fall, Phase 3 will focus on how power regulations could also be updated. Mary Sherman reporting.
A 4-star Kentucky hotel has discovered a data breach threatening guests' credit card information. News outlets report the Galt House Hotel in Louisville said Wednesday that an internal investigation found malware had been stealing information from a payment card processing system. The hotel says guests who stayed at the hotel between December 21, 2016 and April 11th of this year could be affected. The malware copied guest payment information, including names and account numbers, as well as credit card expiration dates and verification codes. The hotel says it has resolved the issue and is working to strengthen its cybersecurity.
Kentucky State Police say a toddler has died after wandering into a road and being hit by a vehicle. Police say the crash happened in the Conway community of Rockcastle County on Wednesday. Police said the sport utility vehicle was southbound when it hit the 17-month-old child, who was pronounced dead at the scene. Police said the child wandered into the road from a nearby residence. The child's name wasn't released, and the crash remains under investigation.
A southeastern Kentucky deputy is accused of lying about being shot during a traffic stop. Paul Miles reports.
State police say McCrary County Deputy Sheriff Franklin Brown told them he conducted a traffic stop on a motorcycle in late June, and the rider fired two shots from a handgun, striking him in his bulletproof vest. Now police say Brown made up the story. He's charged with falsely reporting an incident, tampering with evidence, and official misconduct. Brown was being held in the Leslie County Detention Center. I'm Paul Miles.
A lumber company is building a manufacturing facility in Bowling Green that will employ 50 workers. An announcement from the Kentucky Governor's office says Carter Lumber will invest $10 million in the facility, which will be located at the Kentucky Trans Park. It will produce roof and floor trusses, wall panels, and other engineered wood products. Construction of the 70,000-square-foot facility could begin later this year, and company leaders could open the location by next year. The facility will operate under the company's Kite Home Center division. Bowling Green Mayor Bruce Wilkerson said the growing company will fit in well with his community.
Taking a look at your extended weather forecast, thunderstorms are in the forecast for this evening and skies turning partly cloudy after midnight with a low of 62 degrees this evening. Partly cloudy on Saturday with a high of 78 degrees and Saturday night clear with a low of 56. Sunday and Sunday night will be sunny skies with a high of 81 degrees and a low around 60 degrees. Currently in our listening area, it's 73 degrees in Lexington, 74 in Fleming County and in Ashland, 73 in Inez, and 72 in Winchester. Here on the campus of Morehead State University, it's 75 degrees. This week's commentary, Dr. John Modaff explores the robot war on human drivers.
The next time you climb into the car to drive, take some time to savor the moment. Maybe rub your steering wheel with a little extra love, because the war on human drivers has just kicked up another notch. Yes, I know we've reported on this war before here, but just because we don't talk about it all the time doesn't mean the war has ended. The war against human drivers began when huge financial interests got behind so-called autonomous vehicles, robot cars. The campaign to prove their value has been relentless and requires that people begin to see themselves as inferior to the machines and the systems that drive them. First target of the propaganda war against human drivers was safety and security. The case was that driverless vehicles could operate more safely and thus reduce the utter carnage that happens every year on our highways. We'd save lives, reduce injuries, lower costs for insurance due to fewer accidents, and, of course, avoid suffering and waste. And human drivers were, of course, found to be at fault when accidents involving robot cars started to hit the news. The angle was, without exception, that the errors leading to the fender benders were human errors, not machine errors. Conclusion? Remove the humans and remove the errors. Next target in the robot war on human drivers was the rules of the road themselves. Apparently, humans have a tendency not to follow all of the rules. You know, on occasion someone will roll through a stop sign, for to them stop means softly tap on pedal. I see all sorts of people driving this way, including police, every day, but the robot cars, given their slavishness to the system and absolute cybernetic loyalty to the code, do not vary in their compliance with the rules. Result? Non-conforming humans, once again, are the source of danger when robot cars are on the road, because the robots obey rules and people do not. The battle, then, has been fought on grounds that determine that the removal of the human element will allow the robots to perform safely and in compliance with the rules. That alone might be enough to eventually determine that humans themselves are a road hazard, but the war has not stopped there. A story appeared earlier this week that creates a new front line in the war on human drivers. Case in point, driving makes you stupid. A study out of London concludes that people who do a lot of driving are suffering from lowered IQ, and that this effect is particularly true for middle-aged drivers. According to the study reported in last Sunday's Times of London, the sedentary nature of driving leads to forms of brain fatigue that can reduce intelligence. See the point? Not only are drivers a hazard to the perfectly functioning systems that allow robots to drive, not only are humans non-compliant rule breakers, but the very act of driving itself now has been defined as unhealthy to humans. This is a subtle, very clever shift in the case. Why would you want to drive? It makes you stupid. Let hell drive for you. Hell knows where you need to go.
This sort of thing has cropped up before, and it has always been due to human error.
I'm John Modaff.
When he isn't discussing artificial intelligence and a plot to take over humanity, Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech at Morehead State University. It's 449 and 75 degrees in Morehead. Braxton Howard has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Round County Farmers Market, a certified Kentucky Proud Market, open 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays near the Moorhead City Park. The Round County Farmers Market features homegrown fruits and vegetables and assorted canned and baked goods. Farmers Market Nutrition Program, WIC, and senior checks accepted. For more information, call 784-5457. Supporting local farmers, the Round County Farmers Market is Kentucky Proud. Good afternoon with Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Cincinnati Reds will try to even up their series with Miami tonight at 7:10 down in South Florida after losing to the Marlins 4-1 Thursday evening. The defeat marked another tough outing by one of the Reds' young pitchers. Robert Stevenson's record fell to 0-4 this season after he allowed 3 runs on 4 hits in 4 1/3 innings. The right-hander also issued 7 walks. Manager Brian Price told Fox Sports Ohio that his youngsters still have to learn how to execute their pitches.
We have to look at probabilities. We don't expect any of these kids to come up here and dominate this level of play. But you want to see, number one, get acclimated. Number two, and probably the most important, is compete and compete in the strike zone. Show that you're coachable and that you have coachability, you can learn, and then put what you learn into play here at the big league level.
Another rookie pitches for the Reds tonight as Sal Romano takes the ball for Price's club. Veteran Vance Woolery is slated to go for the Marlins. One other note from the MLB, the elbow injury that kept Boston Red Sox ace David Price off of the opening day roster has returned, and he has been placed on the 10-day disabled list, the team announced earlier today. Lewis County has hired new head coaches for its baseball and softball programs. Larry Riley will take over as the Lions head man for the baseball program. He was the baseball coach at Lewis County from 1989 through 2000 and won nearly 200 games and 3 district titles during that time. Lewis County High School Principal Jack Likens says the hire was fast and easy.
He's excited. Came to me yesterday, talked to me about the job, said he was interested, talked to my committee. Committee was all on board with it. You know, Coach Riley does a great job, whether he was in the classroom, you know, on the baseball field. So we're expecting good things out of baseball.
Mike Diller will take over as the softball coach. He comes to Lewis County from District 4 Raceland, where he was an assistant coach for 9 seasons. Lycan says he was exactly what Lewis County was looking for.
Mike's a super good guy, very knowledgeable about softball, got a lot of good ideas for our program. When we talked to him about, or he brought up the talent that we have at Lewis County in softball and what he thinks he can do for them, and, you know, his desire to come here, be a head coach, and build a program, and that's exactly what we were looking for in our next head softball coach.
Lycan says Lewis County expects to compete for regional championships in both baseball and softball with the hires. Bengals cornerback Adam Peckman-Jones says he'll accept his 1-game suspension from the NFL for his conviction on misdemeanor charges in connections with an incident last winter at a Cincinnati hotel. Speaking Thursday, Jones teared up as he told reporters he appreciates all the support he's been receiving from Bengals owner Mike Brown, who he says he talks to all the time.
The respect and the love that I have for Mr. Brown is undeniable. Words can't express the gratitude of how I feel about him.
That sound courtesy of WCPO-TV. The Bengals start their preseason training camp tomorrow up in the Queen City. The Round County football team moves into the next phase of its preseason practices on Monday. That's when the Vikings will start wearing their full set of pads. Full contact work will start on Tuesday, and Coach Kelly Ford says he's looking forward to it.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the kids are anxious. You know, every day they ask me, Coach, can we hit today? And I said, no, guys, we've got to follow the rules. But they're really excited and ready to fly around.
The Round County football team faces Nicholas County on August the 11th as part of the EKC Gridorama in Flemingsburg. Despite just 2 wins in the last 2 seasons, Lewis County football coach Josh Hughes believes the Lions returned some key playmakers who can help turn his program around. According to Hughes, the efforts of one of his juniors will be critical to how Lewis fares on offense.
Zach Lynn, who's coming in his first year as our quarterback, huge for him. You know, obviously, your quarterback's your field general. And so, you know, we need him knowing what he's doing on every play. Of course, he's got to know what everybody else is doing. He's a really smart kid, a really coachable kid.
Lynn threw only 8 passes last season as a sophomore. Senior wide receiver Ty Alford is back after leading Lewis County with 49 catches in 2016. Hughes says he also expects big things from junior running back Garrett Applegate. 5-star center Mitchell Robinson has reportedly left Western Kentucky University. The WKU student newspaper reported earlier today that Mitchell, a consensus top 10 recruit, cleared out his dorm room and left campus. Earlier this month, former North Carolina star Shamon Williams, who is Robinson's godfather, resigned from the WKU staff, which reportedly caused Mitchell to rethink his decision to play in Bowling Green. Some notes from the NBA. Ramon Sessions and the New York Knicks are finalizing a one-year deal worth $2.3 million. The Brooklyn Nets have released former Kentucky guard Archie Goodwin, and former Kentucky guard Brandon Knight tore his ACL and will miss all of next season. Finally, in sports, Round County girls soccer coach Ellen Evans says the Lady Vikings are progressing well as they get ready for their 2017 schedule. After watching his squad go 1-1-1 during the recent Bluegrass State games, Evans notes that the Lady Vikings need to improve offensively.
The most important touch in soccer is your first touch, and then having that sports IQ of knowing where to be and positions, you know, to go. And so I got to do my work early and get in position to help my teammate. So we're more reactive instead of proactive. And so we see our teammates in trouble, and then we make the move to get in that positive position where we should already be there. And so just trying to teach them the small angles of the game.
The Round Girls start the 2017 season at Mason County on August the 15th. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Tickets are now available for Morehead State fall sports, including football, soccer, and volleyball. Home games begin August 13th for soccer and August 25th for volleyball. Football begins their season by hosting Kentucky Christian at 6 p.m. on Thursday, August 31st. More information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Taking a look at some events coming up in your area, the Gateway Coalition for Workforce Diversity will meet at 11:30 a.m. on Friday, August 11th at Morehead Conference Center. Guest speaker will be Barry Whaley, director of the Southeast ADA Center. Lunch will be provided and there is no admission charge. The coalition develops partnerships between employers, employment, service providers, and individuals with developmental disabilities seeking jobs. A blood drive sponsored by the Kentucky Blood Center will be held at St. Clair Regional Medical Center in Morehead from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Tuesday, August 15th. Donors must be able to provide a photo ID, be at least 17 years of age or 16 with parental consent, weigh at least 110 pounds, and be in general good health. Bud Luke's stock report will return to Mountain Edition on Monday, but for this gloomy Friday afternoon, we'll take a quick look at national and international news. President Donald Trump announced Friday he will make a stop in Huntington next week for a campaign rally. The rally will take place Thursday, August 3rd at the Big Sandy Superstore Arena. Doors will open at 4 p.m. with the rally starting at 7. In a release, Representative Evan Jenkins, a Republican from West Virginia who is running for Senate, said it was a great honor to have Trump return to West Virginia and excited that he chose Jenkins' hometown of Huntington to rally the troops. Tickets are free but required. In North Korea, a private analyst who closely watches the area says if reports about its second intercontinental ballistic missile launch are accurate, the projectile would be powerful enough to reach much of the U.S. David Wright of the Union of Concerned Scientists says that if reports of the missile's maximum altitude and flight are correct, it would have a theoretical range of at least 10,400 kilometers. That means it could reach Los Angeles, Denver, and Chicago.
Taking one last look at your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Tonight, thunderstorms during the evening, then partly cloudy skies after midnight, lows around 62. There's an 80% chance of rain. Saturday will be partly cloudy with highs around 78. Saturday night will be clear with lows around 56. It's currently 73 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
That's going to do it for Mountain Edition. This afternoon, we had help from Chuck Moraz, Arlo Barnett, Ellen Barnett, Braxton Howard, Jacob Lindberg, and Chaz Jenkins. From Kentucky News Connection, Mary Sherman, and Kentucky News Network's Paul Miles and Will Clark. Also, today we heard from commentator, MSU professor, John Modaff. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead and Translator W202BH in Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ellen Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.